For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Juice on the Cues podcast is presented by BetOnline, your number one source for summer sports this season, from MLB to golf to NBA and the NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to you from your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. It is another episode of the Juice on the Cues podcast. Wes Chang alongside Brad Bierman. Thanks as always for joining us on this Thursday, May 16. We'll get to some interesting rumors with Eddie Lampkin and the NBA draft status of Judah Mintz later in the show, but we begin today with Syracuse lacrosse. For the first time since 2017, Syracuse won an NCAA tournament game, this time dispatching Townsend 20-15 on Mother's Day Sunday. A very dominant offensive performance. They move to face fifth-seeded Denver this weekend. Brad, finally, we get to talk about an NCAA tournament win for the lacrosse team. It's been quite some time since that's happened. What are you looking for in the Denver matchup?
Well, Wes, the Orange are somewhat on the way back with one NCAA tournament win under Gary Gates' belt in the third season. That's certainly one positive accomplishment, getting that one win at home in the NCAA tournament to advance to the quarterfinal round for the first time in a while. And it really is something to see because the Syracuse program is important for the college lacrosse overall. You want to have Syracuse being strong along with the likes of Johns Hopkins and Maryland and the other ACC teams that have won national championships, Notre Dame, the defending champion. So certainly good to, first of all, to see Syracuse back in the picture for a national, contending for a national championship as one of the eight teams in the quarterfinal round. And what, Wes, I was really surprised that all eight seeded teams won at home. I know, it's something that hasn't happened since 2014, so it is an unusual occurrence. And I really thought one of the lower seeded teams was going to pull off an upset this year, but it didn't happen. So you have seeds 1-8. Syracuse number 4, Denver number 5. Well, that says to me it's going to be a pretty close game. And when you look at the common opponents of both teams, well, Denver beat Johns Hopkins. They beat Utah. They defeated Cornell. Of course, Syracuse lost to the Big Red in overtime. And then Denver also lost to Duke. Syracuse split two games with the Blue Devils this season. Pretty even game as far as I can see from a first-line talent across the field. But, you know, Wes, we talked last week about spreading the goal scoring out offensively for Syracuse. And when you see the 20 goals that were scored against Towson, 10 different Orange players tallied, and two of those 10 had four goals apiece. So that really shows great spreading of the ball around offensively. And the faceoff men, Cone and Mullen, were just fabulous. And they're going to be so important against the Pioneers as well. Not only did they win and dominate at the faceoff dot, but each of those players scored a goal as one of those 10 SU goal scorers. I see an even game. I think, like most quarterfinal round games in the NCAA tournament, it's going to come down to possessions in the fourth quarter. Faceoffs will be really important. Good goalkeeping and defense. Could be typical 1-2 goal game, very close margin in these tournament games, Wes.
Yeah, so I want to talk about the Denver matchup in a bit, but just starting with the Townsend win, so important for Will Mark to get going again. Mark was lifted in the first quarter of Syracuse's ACC route against Duke, and he really struggled again early on against Townsend. Zero saves in the first quarter while giving up six goals. You start to get a little worried about him, but he settled down midway through the second quarter, and then he was critical in that third quarter, notches four saves during that time period. Finishes with 10 saves on the night. So Syracuse isn't going anywhere without him. Good to see him get on track, back on track. That's first. And then looking to Denver, I think this is a team you mentioned that has won a national championship before, Brad. But someone like Syracuse, they haven't been to an NCAA quarterfinal since 2018. That streak finally snapped thanks to a red-hot first quarter. They go up 7-1 on Michigan. And a few things I wanted to point out about the Pioneers and attackman J.J. Silstrop. This is a team that's very comfortable in both man-up and man-down situations. They're best in the country at killing man-down at 83%. And they've scored 20 man-up goals. That's good for 11th nationally. So this speaks to a team, again, that's well-coached, disciplined. They have significantly more talent than the Townsend team that Syracuse just routed. And as you've said, they play pretty evenly with the opponents Syracuse has had in common with them. So I think on neutral ground, this is going to be a wire-to-wire game. It's going to be determined in the last few possessions. And we move on to basketball. If you were on the Syracuse message boards and social media over the weekend, you probably read something about Eddie Lampkin and his potential decommitment from Syracuse. And if you were looking at his social media recently, you noticed that he removed a lot of things from there, including his posts about his commitment to Syracuse. Brad, we were actually talking about the roster a few weeks ago, and Lampkin is a centerpiece of this roster. What were you thinking when you heard about all this?
Wes, I think he's a tremendous pickup for Syracuse. Once he's going to get into the whole flow of what Red Autry is trying to do with the center position, this whole scuttlebutt about social media, rumors, et cetera. Well, I think this all comes with the territory here. When you're talking about transfer portal, when you see players have played, in the case of Eddie Lampkin, you know, TCU, Colorado, now he's coming to Syracuse, hundreds of players, when you look across the country, are playing for different schools each year. They're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. Things are going to happen. And I just can't imagine, you know, in modern college athletics today, these players getting paid now, so much money, so much opportunity to, you know, not only earn income, make a mark for a program, get a diploma, reach out to the community, that their head's got to be spinning. You know, it's just so tough being a Division I athlete with all that comes with it today. And I just think that Lampkin, I think he'll be an Orange Flare, but as you say, you know, let's see what happens. They have to enroll for school for the fall semester. Once that's all done, everything will be in good shape. And I think he's a tremendous player. I think he'll fit really well with what Autry's trying to do and getting a lot more rebounding, getting a lot more point production inside. And for now, let's just enjoy what the roster makeup is, and let's just see what happens come September when practice begins.
So yeah, Brad, a few things I wanted to say here. First, it's always difficult reading social media tea leaves, right? Sometimes someone removes a post or posts that he's at another college, and suddenly that stirs a rumor. And that's going to proliferate in this era of NIL and the portal, because a commitment in the portal is really only verbal. The only way for a transfer player to come to school is actually to show up on the first day of class and attend class and practice. There's no national letters of intent here, which is really to say, this is probably going to be the new normal for every single transfer that Syracuse lands. And there's a shortage of quality big men in the portal. Lampkin is a highly desired player. There's a lot of programs that are reaching out to him that are trying to flip him. So while I do think as of right now, that is, that he does end up at Syracuse, you know, recruiting, it's fickle, it's ephemeral, it's fleeting. That is the world we live in right now. So we will take a quick break. NBA scout Ryan Blake will join us after to give us his take on Judah Mintz and Jesse Edwards. This is the Juice on the Cuse podcast.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Back on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Wes Chang here with you. And there are two players of interest who are currently entrants in the NBA draft. And those two players are former Syracuse center Jesse Edwards and point guard Judah Mintz. Both played at the G League Elite Camp over the past week, and NBA scout Ryan Blake was there watching very closely. We welcome him back on the program now. Ryan, how are you? Thanks again.
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Wes.
Yeah, Ryan, we'll get you started on this one. There's two players I wanted to talk to you about. We'll start on Judah Mintz. You got to watch him at the G League Elite Camp. What did you think after you saw him?
Well, I think, you know, Judah got invited to the G League Camp. He came in. He tested well. And that's important for a 6'5 point guard. Came in, he had a really good first game, played well, pounded the ball a little bit too much, you know, which he's done at Syracuse and over the last 2 years. But, you know, he played both ends of the floor. He competed well. I think the knock on him was his outside shooting. I think he was 2-for-4 the first game, which is good. I mean, played well within the flow. I think his second game, he didn't have the ball in his hands. He didn't play a lot of minutes. And I think that, you know, a lot of other guards that came out there and played against him, he wasn't overwhelmed by any means, but he played well, I think, overall. So he was in there. He was confident. A lot of positives coming into our G League Elite camp.
Yeah, I think there's a little disappointment he didn't get invited to the combine. But what's interesting is that he has 2 years of college eligibility left. So for a borderline guy like Mintz, does his remaining eligibility play a role in his evaluation?
Yeah, there's a number of factors you have to look at. First off, you know, you got to look at the point guard class. You got to look at his ability. You got to look at the strengths and concerns that Judah may have. And having the If a decision maker says, you know, listen, there's a lot of other guys out there. I prefer those. You know, there might be a few guys that say, hey, let's bring him in for individual workouts and stuff. But if he's a guy that is not projected to get drafted, then it's good for him, you know, to go back to school if that's the case, right? And he'll get that from having those individual workouts with those teams, you know, especially in when you get invited to the G League Elite Camp, or even our college seniors that play down in Portsmouth, you're going to have a lot of calls, you know, from your agents say, hey, you got a lot of workouts. You could be 10 to 20 workouts. And that's an experience that most players don't have. So that's to his benefit. And he'll also be getting feedback from that too. His agents will be getting feedback. And if that comes to the, you know, the feedback comes like, hey, you're not going to get drafted, that makes it harder to make an NBA team, which means that, hey, you may be a G League player. Now, if you're a player that can go back to school, develop, and get your NIL money, which is, you know, the new thing, not the new thing, but I mean, it's, you know, that can, you know, help you. You know, a lot of these players that are choosing not to go to the NBA draft through the NBA draft are getting more money than they would if they played professionally, whether it's overseas or in the G League.
Ryan, you touched on this in your first answer. The knock on Mintz is his outside shooting. He shot a hair above 30% in his first year from downtown. He comes back in his sophomore year. He's only shooting 28%. It actually went down. So how much of a downgrade is that in a scout's mind for Mintz's overall game?
Yeah, I think it's important, too, when you look at a player like this, and let's say we have a sheet of paper and we split it down the middle, strengths and concerns. There's so much positive strengths that he has, so many strengths, okay? So whether it's his defense, playmaking ability, competitiveness, all those things, right? those will stick with the decision makers. Yes, that outside shooting is a concern. It is, because you want someone that especially has that size to be able to knock down those threes, and especially in today's game. How much of it is, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, you come out to an NBA system, you might be able to develop, maybe, you know, to shoot better. However, if he's able to go back to school and prove that he can shoot or improves his outside shooting, he gets the feedback from the decision makers, from his individual workouts, then that helps his chances to open up the door to make an NBA team. It's not just about, you know, it getting drafted in the first round. It's getting that opportunity. Yes, every single player would want to get drafted in the first round because it's guaranteed money. When you go into the second round, those percentages drop tremendously. However, we do have two-way contracts now. So we're looking at you know, three potential spots on a team that you can make some money and get, you know, get and play, get down to the G League, where it's the most scouted professional league in the world, and run by, you know, NBA teams, NBA trainers, NBA system, et cetera. But if you are able to go back to school and get your, I guess, draft status up higher, then, you know, that's what you should do. Plus, with the NIL, like I said before, you can make more, you can make money.
Ryan, I also wanted to ask you about former Syracuse center Jesse Edwards. He played well from what I saw, and then he got invited to the NBA Combine. The concern about him here is about, I think, his strength. What did you think after you saw him?
Yeah, so he was invited and made the right choice to come down to a Portsmouth Invitational, where he played extremely well. He showed that he was a two-way player. He showed his knowledge. He showed his spacing. There's so many things that that we liked what he did. And the NBA teams voted on him to come up to the G League Elite Camp. And in the Elite Camp, he did the same thing and even better. He tested well, especially for a big man, very mobile, extremely long. Vertical was pretty good for a big man. So those things stood out. And when he played, he played so well within himself, and he was so unselfish, and he had the extra effort. He was able to just really tell the NBA teams that I could be a two-way player. I could probably be drafted in the second round. I'm going to go through this. And then as a result, he gets invited to the combine, which starts to, you know, tomorrow. Now, we have four players that we had a total of 11 players from Portsmouth got invited to the G League Elite Camp. Okay, that just shows you the importance of the Portsmouth Invitational. Then four of those Portsmouth people from the G League Elite Camp got invited. Four out of the five got invited to the Combine. And it just goes to show that players don't stop developing as they get older. They can get better. And Jesse Edwards is one of those guys.
Ryan, we'll get you out of here on this one. Do you view either or both players as NBA draft picks?
Well, let's start with Judah. I think Judah right now, there's a lot of strengths, but there's also a lot of concerns. Yet there's also a large amount of point guards out there right now. And he's not going to get drafted in the first round. And when it comes to second round, you're going to have a lot of teams that will take a flyer, let's say, on an international player that's under contract and not offer a buyout and have them, you know, continue to develop overseas. So some of those, American or college draft picks go away. And I think with the point guards, it makes it more difficult for Judah to get drafted. I think if he went through the draft and he would get invited to a summer league team and he would get that opportunity. Now for Jesse, Jesse's eligibility is up. He's going through the draft. He continues to show the decision makers that, hey, I can play. He's playing within himself. I think as a big man that's still developing and he's playing in a, you know, when we're playing in this system, that's a little bit more free. he's not going to be your go-to guy, but he makes a difference on both ends. And I think that's important. He's a surprisingly good passer and very knowledgeable, and he's got quick hands and a quick mind. And I think teams will look at that with his size and athleticism and that high IQ, and they'll take a chance on him, whether it's in the second round or two-way. You know, he's going to have that opportunity. And I'm excited to see how he does the next 2 days.
Ryan, thank you so much. Always appreciate your insight. Love your analysis. We'll speak with you soon.
Thanks, Wes. I enjoy it.
NBA scout Ryan Blake, ladies and gentlemen. So it sounds like Jesse Edwards' stock is rising, and maybe it's best for Judah Mintz to return to college and continue to develop his game. We'll see how all that plays out in the next month or so ahead of the NBA draft. We'll take a quick break, wrap things up here on the other side. This is the Juice on the Cuse podcast.
This is the Juice on the Cuse podcast.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Juice on the Cuse podcast from the Believe in Rivals Networks with my longtime colleague, Wes Chang. I'm Brad Bierman. And Wes, I want to take a look at what's happened in the ACC spring meetings this past week in Florida. And when I saw the look on Jim Phillips' face, the ACC commissioner, walking out of some of those meetings, kind of had a forlorn look to him. And I think what's going on right now with the lawsuit between Florida State, Clemson, and the ACC really has to be an awkward situation when they're getting together for the annual athletic directors meetings in Amelia, Florida this week, because they're still a member of the conference. Yet at the same time, they're suing the conference for more money. It's just an awkward situation, and it's the elephant in the room. And moving forward, I think it's going to be tied into what's going to be the future of the ACC. If you lose a Florida State, you lose a Clemson, even having brought in Cal, Stanford, and SMU, it's just not going to be the same. And the pressure's on the ACC to perform. As the college football playoff expands to 12 teams, the ACC really needs two teams in there from a revenue standpoint. And then, of course, the House is also divided that Jim Phillips is dealing with how much teams are going to be making revenue-wise within the conference on a performance basis. And then it's all leading to players getting paid, the trying to finalize the solution to the NCAA House lawsuit that's been going on for a couple years now, billions of dollars in back pay potentially to players, and then moving forward, players sharing in the income and having that adjusted on an annual basis because there's no collective bargaining in college athletics. So a lot of legal maneuvering, Wes, a lot of talk about revenue, of course, chasing money. But at the same time, Phillips is pointing out that the ACC remains successful in competing for five national championships, winning them so far this year. And, of course, with lacrosse coming up this week, half of the field are ACC teams. So should be an interesting summer leading into media day and into the fall as these issues are to be resolved in the future. But there's no doubt the Atlantic Coast Conference, to me, Wes, is a house divided.
Yeah, Brad, when I hear your closing thought, I think of the ACC as the first conference to really kick off all this realignment back in 2005 when they took Boston College, Virginia Tech, and Miami. And here we are nearly 20 years later, and the ACC is looking more and more precarious by the day. And to your point, Brad, but, you know, I wanted to turn it back to basketball because I've been watching the Knicks take on the Pacers recently. And wow, Jalen Brunson has been fantastic. 44 points as the Knicks took a 3-2 lead over the Pacers on Tuesday. Here's the Syracuse connection because this is a Syracuse podcast. His father, Rick, who played with the Knicks in the 90s, he's an assistant coach with the Knicks now. He was actually born in Syracuse before moving to Massachusetts, going on to star at Salem High School. So there's an NBA playoff connection for you there with Syracuse.
I love those 6 degrees to separation Syracuse connections to the NBA playoffs for the lack of Orange players that have had success in winning NBA championships. Always good to have a Syracuse connection to the NBA. And one interesting note I'll add to that, Rick Brunson, of course, played for Temple And when Jalen Brunson was recruited, well, the pressure was on to go to Temple. Instead, he spurned and went to Villanova. So that was a whole complete different story in the Philly basketball lore. But love that Syracuse connection. What a great player Rick Brunson was, and he's doing a great job in his coaching career as well.
That's it for us. For Brad Bierman, this is Wes Chang. You've been listening to The Juice on the Cuse presented by Bet Online and Believe, and we will see you next time.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.